Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Andy, and welcome, Southern Utah listeners. We are glad that you're here with us today. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is your senior resource for all information, questions that you might have regarding your elder care or problems that you might be having and that you just need some information on. Give Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care a call at 435-477-6999. We'd love to hear from you.
So let's start the show off again with COVID good news. On a global level, according to the World Health Organization, U.S. confirmed cases are downtrending since July, with about half to two-thirds as many cases as we had, you know, during the month of July. And while other countries like India, Argentina, Spain, France, and Europe in general, they're all upward trending. So good job, U.S. Let's see. The worldwide recovery rate is 97% of those that tested positive and 100% for those that did not get tested but were infected, which may be more than those that got tested. So locally, there's 14 counties that are green in Utah. That means that they've got the lowest level of restrictions. Washington and Iron County are expected to move from yellow to green in the coming weeks. And today, I want you to know that Iron County has no new COVID cases, which is good news.
Let's mention, in the green category is Beaver County, Box Elder Counties, Carbon, Daggett, Duchesne, Emory, Garfield, Kane, Millard, Paiute, Rich, Sevier, Uinta, and Wayne counties, all green. That is good news.
That is. That's great news. And we're doing the right things. Yes, there are some hot spots, and we're dealing with those, and that's the kind of control that we really want to have in a state. So of the 758,000 people that have been tested in Utah, with almost a million tests being done in the state, only 3,494 were found to be COVID positive.
Sick enough to need hospitalization.
That's right. And so those are some pretty good numbers. We've been doing a lot of tests, and our negative test rate is just tremendous.
This doesn't mean we can ignore good hygiene, wearing masks, or that we don't have a responsibility to those at high risk. We still need to be kind to everyone and do what we can to reduce the spread. We just don't need to live in fear anymore. We need to move on and look at things in a different direction, look at from a positive perspective.
And we were talking to a group of doctors last night, you know, late into the evening because our day never ends, and they gave us some interesting information. COVID has made some real changes in our society, and it's going to be interesting to see how that affects us now. When we're talking about, you know, people falling ill and even passing away, it may not be the primary disease that they have, but it'll be a complication that happens in our lives. And most often that's infections.
Well, we've always just taken for granted and just realized that there are going to be infections. So somebody with an immune compromised system, or maybe just the elderly, somebody who's, you know, more prone to illness, comes across infections. We've taken that for granted and just kind of expected that in our lives. But with all the hand sanitizing, the extra sanitizing of cleaning of all buildings and restaurants that we go to, the mask wearing, hand washing, all that will have a very positive impact on the overall decline in other infection rates. Things that, again, we were normally expected to deal with in the past, and we just took for granted that it was a part of our lives.
And things that haven't ever been tracked before. You know, they didn't actually track flu deaths. There were some ancillary studies done to make some determinations, but nobody ever tracked people going into the hospitals with flu or any other infection. That's just not done. So the fact that we're tracking COVID infections is a unique thing. But the important takeaway from this is that because we put in these personal protocols of self-quarantining, of social distancing, wearing masks, and personal sanitation, That is going to have effect not just on the COVID infections, but on all infections across the board. So we may have a drastic change in the death rate. I'm going to throw that out there. Within the state and nationwide and even worldwide, it may change to where more people are surviving longer because they aren't infected with any types of infections for a longer period of time. So that's some really positive good news.
Right. So to wrap up our COVID good news, let me just say again that we're not saying that even one death isn't important. It is very important. But death is a part of living, isn't it? It's just an expected thing that we will deal with. So we're not saying that this pandemic isn't real. It is definitely real. But let's try to focus on the positive instead of the negative, because quite frankly, we have seen that the fear that has run its course through this pandemic, that has just taken over all of our lives, is not healthy for us. It has not had a good impact on our overall well-being. So let's try and look at things in a positive light. Look for the good things instead of the bad things. Some good things that came out of the pandemic is this overall infection rate, and we're doing more sanitizing. We're being cleaner, washing our hands more often and using better hygiene. So that's a positive thing.
Yeah, we're actually doing today what we've been told for the past 30 years to do.
Right.
And so now that we're going to do those things, we should see some real benefit from that.
So let's talk about why we're here. What is Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care? Richard, why are you here?
So we got involved in this for some very personal reasons. This wasn't, our life's work in the beginning. We weren't clinical. We had other things going on, but we had some very personal reasons why we saw a need in Southern Utah for a different kind of hospice. And we've spent our time trying to educate through this radio program and meetings with people, and we've reached out in every way that we can, and we're continuing to do that because we want people to have a different picture of what hospice could be in Southern Utah.
It is our personal experiences that has brought such passion about educating and informing our friends in this beautiful community the importance of understanding hospice, but especially palliative care. About 18 years ago, I was living in Las Vegas, working and raising a very young family. My parents lived up here in Santa Clara, actually. My mom became ill with what was thought to be bronchitis. I brought her and my dad home to Las Vegas with me so I could take care of them. Shortly after, it was discovered that my mom had lung cancer. It was not bronchitis, and that it had already metastasized to her liver, brain, and lymph nodes. By the time the doctors discovered it, surgery was no longer an option. In fact, they told me that every day we had with her was a gift. They told me to take her home, have hospice come in, and enjoy the very little time that we might have left with her. We were devastated and scared. This was a confusing time for our family. We weren't sure how to deal with this.
And we had no idea what hospice was. That was a completely foreign concept to us. So yes, we accepted, hospice. They said, yes, you need to go on hospice. The documents were signed, but our experience started there with hospice because when they came in and talked to us about what we wanted to do and they just helped us accomplish that, it was a great experience right from the beginning.
And this was the first time our family would experience a loss of a close family member. And so our focus and attention really wasn't, clear. We had no direction or path. At that time, we hadn't even heard of hospice, as Richard said. We had no idea what their purpose was and what they could bring to our family to bring us comfort. From the moment they walked in the door, they guided, directed, and helped us navigate this very, very difficult time. My mother was from England. She was very holistic in her approach to medicines. This was a very long time ago, before holistic and homeopathic were commonly understood or ever talked about. It was before the World Wide Web made it so easy to search for information and find resources. When my mom told the hospice nurse that she wasn't ready to give up, that she believed a holistic doctor could help her, the nurses assured us that they would help us figure it all out. We tried foot zoning and reflexology. We tried this thing with a ball that went in a foot bath, and it was supposed to draw out toxins through her feet. Now, I'm not saying that what we did would be what everyone would want. What I am saying is we did exactly what she wanted, everything that she wanted. We were able to keep her alive and we were able to serve my mother for another 5.5 months when the doctors had told us that every single day was a gift.
And one of the things about this was that her mother was engaged in what was going on, and she was awake and participating with the family, and we had an opportunity to have great memories during that time.
Yes. We had time to say all that we wanted to say. She had time for family to come in and spend time with her all the way from England. One of my sweetest memories is of my brother that had moved so far away from our family, had the opportunity to come back and spend time with her before she passed. I remember him sitting in the bed with his back against the wall, and she sat with her back against his chest, and he wrapped his arms around her in a big bear hug while we all sat in the room and talked about childhood stories and memories and laughed as a family for hours. This happened multiple times over this 5.5 months. We treasured every moment that we had with my mom.
And because hospice was involved at a great level where they were coming in and providing care and support, it made it easier to have those good times and to not just focus on the problem that existed, but to be able to separate ourselves from that problem and find good times to be had.
I remind everybody that my mom was completely lucid. She was free of any drugs. We literally managed her pain completely through holistic means until the day she drew her last breath. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that it's everybody's approach. What I'm suggesting is that palliative is supposed to be about you and your family. It's not supposed to be my desires or Richard's desires or Andy's desires or a nurse that you don't know walking in and telling you what you have to do. There's no protocol here. We're supposed to come in and find out what would make your life better, what would bring you a higher quality of life. And if somebody walks in and just says, oh, what can we do for you? That's an overwhelming question at such a difficult time. Well, my mother's dying. Can you fix that? No, got nothing for you there. Other than some pain management, we can give her some morphine or lorazepam or Haldol or something like that. That has been the past protocol. But when somebody comes in and lovingly and compassionately shows their interest in the difficult time you are enduring, it brings a different dimension to the experience.
And when they have the knowledge and the skills and the understanding of the circumstance where they don't just come in and say, tell me what to do, but, well, these are things we can do. We're going to bring some options to make this better, and we're going to see if we can improve. And these are what our recommendations are. They're coming with ideas instead of just saying, okay, we're here.
And that's really what drives our passion. We at Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care come in and ask very direct questions about what goals you have as a family and what would make your life, what would bring more quality to your life, what would make your family's life a little easier. Sometimes it is as simple as helping a spouse with the day-to-day tasks of keeping her house clean and helping her loved one, of making sure that meals are prepared and simply bathing her husband while he's so ill and unable to help himself with his daily ADLs.
Or being just companionship, because when you consider somebody who is in a physical condition where they can't get out and they can't do the things that they normally did during the day, they are home alone. Even a married couple who is home alone because the spouse is 100% committed to taking care of that person who is 100% required to stay home for a number of reasons, not the least of which is COVID at this point. That's a lonely time for all of them. So if people can come in and really be there just as companionship to to bring another level of conversation. That those things are so meaningful and help the family in their struggles, because they have to take care of their, you know, their own families and their own children and their own daily lives already. So they may be willing to commit, you know, a weekend, a evening or something to do that. But what about the rest of the week? And so being that, providing that other level of care is so important.
Well, so often the family just are of the mindset that I will put off my own care. I won't go to the doctor. I won't worry about my dental appointments. I won't take care of myself because I only have enough time in my day to take care of my loved one. What Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care does is we come in and we actually bring loving, compassionate people to support the caregivers as well as the patient, so that the caregivers can take care of themselves, because they really aren't much help if they're too sick to care for their loved one. So we'll be there so that you can go on your doctor's or dentist appointments lovingly with your the member of your family who is struggling with their chronic illness, so that you can take care of yourself, so that you're in a better frame of mind, so you feel healthier, so that you have a more positive way about you as you navigate through such a difficult time.
So we hope that you understand what our original first experience with hospice was, what we saw, what it could be, and that as we've been involved with this, how much it can be useful for people.
Well, let me expand or finish. With my mother, her passing was absolutely so beautiful that it felt like she just closed her eyes and went to sleep. And we had, as a family, we had no regrets. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. This is what a hospice with palliative experience should be for everyone. This is what it could be. And this is why we are so driven and so passionate about bringing a palliative experience to Southern Utah for our seniors.
And so that was all that we knew about hospice, and that was then what we expected from hospice.
And my situation with my dad was much, much different. He was back here living in St. George. He had a small stroke after my mom died, so he walked with a gait on his right side. The doctors found a wound later on the tip of his toe that he didn't know was even there because he had neuropathy. He had type 2 diabetes. They amputated his toes, then determined that they needed to take his left leg up to his knee. My dad realized that this would take all of his independence. He decided that he didn't want the surgery. He didn't want to give up his living alone and his ability to take care of himself. He didn't want to lose his independence, and since he had lived without my mom for so many years, the doctors explained to us that he was probably a little early for hospice, actually. In our lives, personally, our business had grown to where we felt that we could move up here to take care of him while he was...
For the next 6 months to a year was our expectation, that he would be involved, or that we'd be directly involved with his care, being able to be with him regularly and share those experiences that we expected to have.
Right. So we purchased a home up here in St. George to be near my dad while he was sick. And we moved up here on July 1st, but my dad passed away on June 29th, only 3 days after being placed on hospice. He was gone before we even moved into our home.
Let me go through those numbers again. He went on hospice 6 days before he moved up. He was expected to, from all the doctor's input, it was probably going to be longer than 6 months that he would be alive. But he passed away 3 days after he went on hospice and 3 days before we actually moved in.
It was not a good experience for our family. In fact, when I talk about my mom's passing, I feel so happy and satisfied that her experience was beautiful, that we did all that we could for her. We served her and loved her and had experiences with her that I cherish. But when I talk about my dad, I find it very hard. I find myself getting choked up because it happened so quickly. And he was so heavily medicated at the end that we couldn't enjoy his stories and laughter with him. We had no time to share with him, no time to process the experience, no time to live through the grieving process while he was still here. He was gone too fast.
So, again, we didn't know much about hospice. What we had expected wasn't there. And so then we were given this totally different situation, and we were trying to grasp that. He had been put in a, in a protocol. A doctor had made a decision about what should be done, and that protocol
or
was...
a nurse. It was probably a nurse that had come in, evaluated that, oh, he has this terrible wound on his foot. He's already had a partial amputation, and he's not having a second amputation. He must be in grave pain. And it was just likely a protocol decision to manage his pain.
But that was approved by a doctor, and then a protocol was created, and the protocol was just a Medicaid to unconsciousness, to make sure that there was no pain. It was just, those were the two choices. We either are going to deal with the pain and make him unconscious, or somehow he's going to have this overwhelming pain if he's awake. That wasn't a conversation that was had with any of our family or with her dad, because if they had asked the question, if they'd simply said, well, are you in any pain? He could have said no, because he had neuropathy. He had diabetes, which negated any feeling he had in his feet. He couldn't feel anything. So that was, it was a bad decision that we weren't involved in, and we didn't know how to fix that.
Right. Nobody had come to us. Nobody had asked us what our goals were, what our desires were. Nobody asked us how we wanted to deal with the situation. To be quite honest with you, my dad, I know him. I know he would have actually preferred to accept a little bit of pain if it would have kept him awake so that he could enjoy his loved ones and his family in his last days. So while trying to process and understand what went wrong, what we missed, what was so infinitely different from the experience that we had with my mom, we discovered that Southern Utah did not have a good palliative program. We knew right away that we had to open Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We had to educate and inform this community of what a great palliative experience can be. We are here to help you deal with your very difficult times, to answer your questions, to bring resources, to lift your burdens, and to make this overall process as beautiful of an experience as it can possibly be. We want you to experience a better quality of life.
We're right up at the end of this program, and I just want to point out that there's nothing wrong with the people involved in hospice here in Southern Utah. That would be a bad statement. But understand that hospice companies kind of developed on some fairly simple processes. Somebody who worked for another hospice company said, well, I think I can do this maybe a little cheaper and save some money. Or they were a home health company and said, well, we do these three or four things, and hospice seems to be those three or four things, so we'll just extend doing that. Where we understand that hospice is so much more than just dealing with a single symptom or a single problem. It's trying to address all of the whole person, all of the different levels. And hospice isn't that here in Southern Utah, or hasn't been. And that's what we're trying to make that change for. So we really hope that everybody who's listening to this program understands more now and is better informed.
If you are struggling to care for a loved one, or if you know someone who is trying to do it all by themselves or need additional help, give us a call. That is why we are here. Please call us so we can help you. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999.